You know, on your birthday, typically we get gifts, right? There was a birthday when we lived in New York City that I got a call from Susan, and I was at the office, and she said, "The kids want to know if you're picking up a birthday cake on your way home." And I said, "Why would I be picking up a birthday cake on my way home? "Well, they just thought you might want to celebrate my birthday." And I was like, "Oh, man." And I said, "Yeah, I'm picking up a birthday cake on my way home." Well, the next year for Susan's birthday, she got this amazing bag with all these goodies in it. You know, we spent way too much. And she said, "Hey, if you get me a present like that every other year for my birthday, you can forget my birthday every other year. You know, that'll work." But when your birthday's coming around, you're always thinking about, what am I going to get, right? What's the gift going to be? Or maybe when Christmas is coming around, and God bless Hobby Lobby and all these other places, but it's just too soon, right? Too soon, all right? Right, for Christmas. If you sing Christmas songs before Thanksgiving, would you raise your hand? The back door. I'm just kidding. I love it. I love Christmas songs almost year-round, but as a parent, you're always wanting to capture a photo of your kid opening a gift. It's like that magic moment, you know? And you try so hard, you know, to capture the moment. So I brought one that we captured at Christmas. Look at this. Woo! So I'm pretty sure Lily is excited for Parker here, which that's a pretty good big sister, right? And Parker got a Charlie Blackman bobblehead, a baseball player. It had a real fuzzy beard on it, and he's just blown away in this moment. Isn't that a great shot of that moment of receiving a gift? Well, here's the good news that I want to share with you this morning. What I want to share with you this morning is that God desires to give every one of us a gift. God desires to give you a gift today. I want to invite four volunteers to come up and join me up here. Come on, Wyatt, you've already volunteered. Four volunteers. If you haven't volunteered yet, come on up. Four kids. All right, come on up. Just jump up in one of these seats. Just jump up. All right. I need one more kid that wants to volunteer. No, don't volunteer for somebody. Come on up. Well, I got two that are racing to the front. Come on up. All right. Hey, both of you can come. Can I get another stool? Can I get a fifth stool? All right, thank you. Okay, you come on around here. Emmett, we'll put you on a stool right down here. So just have a seat on the stage right there just for a second. God is the greatest giver that ever existed. And God is greatly glorified in giving gifts to his children. All right, here comes your stool, Emmett. Jump up on there. The stool's right there. It's great. Perfect. Right there. There you go, my man. There's a couple of scripture verses that come to mind as I think about God giving us gifts. So the first one is Romans 6:23. Do you know this scripture verse? It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you see that? "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So what is a wage? A wage is what we earn. And so we haven't earned gifts from God. We've earned God's judgment through our sin. And this is a hard concept for people sometimes to really understand and believe they deserve God's judgment and that their sin actually separates them from God. And they need a gift to be brought back into a relationship with God. And the good news of the gospel is that God is a gracious God and he's a loving God. And he has given us the gift of salvation in his son, Jesus. And that's what Paul writes in Romans here. Is that the gift of God is eternal life. So not eternal judgment and not eternal separation, which our sin has earned us, but God is a gracious giver and he wants to give us a gift. If you're here today, if you've got breath in your lungs, God wants to give you a gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. There's another verse that Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and Paul's writing to Christians. Paul's writing to believers that have received Jesus by faith and relied upon Jesus to save them. And this is what he writes. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So I ask people all the time, in a minute or less, in your own words, can you tell me what the gospel is? When I sit down with people and we're talking about spiritual things, I'll usually start there. In a minute or less, in your own words, can you tell me what the gospel is? And that's what we're talking about this morning, is the gift of salvation found in the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this verse, Paul's writing and he wants believers to understand that their salvation that they had already received wasn't anything that they earned. It was given by God. It was given by God. And a lot of people, when I ask them in your own words, in a minute or less, can you explain the gospel? A lot of times people will explain something like, well, being a good person. You know, well, it's me trying to read the Bible and do what it says. And can I just tell you, that's really bad news. That's really bad news. If you think salvation is you reading the Bible and doing what it says, that's really bad news, because you cannot earn God's favor. You cannot earn your salvation. And that's why Paul writes here and he says, salvation, this gift that God wants to give us, it's a gift of grace. Grace, if you want a definition of grace, grace is a gift that we don't deserve and we could not earn. So God wants to give every one of us salvation. And he wants to give it to us. Sometimes we want to earn it. So receiving a gift might be a little hard. But in this gift of salvation, there's a couple of things. There's actually a lot when you think about salvation. There's a lot here. So this gift here is going to represent salvation, all right? I'm going to pull some things out of this box of salvation, and I'm going to have you guys hold them. Can you do that for me? Yeah. Can you do that? Okay, thank you. As we think about the salvation that God wants to give us, the gift of grace. What does that say?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness. God wants to give us forgiveness of our sins. I want you guys to hold that one together and just hold it. You just hold it just like that so all these people can see it. You're holding it perfect. It's a good job. The opposite of forgiveness would be God holding our sins against us. The opposite of forgiveness would be God treating us the way our sins deserve. But when God gives us a gift of salvation, he wants to forgive us. In the book of 1 John, it says this, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Dear friends, listen, the only way you can find forgiveness is by receiving it as a gift from God. You can't earn it, you can't attend church enough, you can't give money enough, you can't sing praise songs loud enough to earn forgiveness, you can't do it, there's no way. You can only receive it as a gift. Oh, that's not all salvation provides for us. Salvation provides some other things. This is really cool. All right, you guys, let's see what else is in this gift. What does that say?
Friendship.
Friendship. Declan, would you hold that, buddy? There you go. Friendship. I don't know if your heart has marveled at the fact that we can be friends with God. But when we receive Jesus by faith, trusting in him as our Savior, we get friendship with God. This is part of the best stuff of our salvation. It's great to be forgiven, isn't it? But to be brought into a friendship with God it's unspeakably good. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you hear that kind of friendship? I mean, that's the best kind of friendship, right? Because sometimes when we annoy our friends, they get a little ticked off at us and they might, you know, kind of give us the silent treatment. Have you ever experienced that? Maybe you really hurt a friend and they stop being your friend. They stop texting you. They stop calling. They stop wanting to hang out with you, you know. That's like human friendship. But divine friendship is when God says to us, on your worst day, I'm not leaving you. On your worst day, I'm not going anywhere. On your worst day, I'm with you to the end of the age. I want to be a friend of yours. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. A lot of people think Christianity is kind of this dutiful, you know, kind of activity rather than this relationship where we walk with God and enjoy his presence and indeed enjoy his friendship. The living God, your maker, wants you to know him. And the living God, your maker, wants to walk with you in a real personal relationship. And when we receive the gift of salvation, we not only get forgiveness of our sins, we also get friendship with God. You guys want to see what else is in here? Yeah? I really don't have time today to pull out everything that's in the box of salvation. But because it's so vast. It's so vast. You know, the scripture says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has for those that love him. It's just unthinkable. Our heart can't even imagine what salvation is going to be for us, but there is some clarity. Let's look at this. What does that say?
Power.
Power. You can hold that. We'll let her hold this. You know, some of us, we've just kind of been in this cycle of addiction. Something's got a foothold in our life. It's had a foothold in our life for 20 years. Maybe for some of us, it's an attitude of our heart that we cannot shake. Maybe for some of us, it's a bitterness. Do you guys ever have trouble obeying your parents?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot?
Yeah.
A lot?
Yeah, I have.
Brother, listen. What does this say?
Forgiveness.
If you confess your sins of not obeying your parents, the Lord Jesus will forgive you completely. Amen? Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? But many of us, we've been living our life out of our own power, trying to do it on our own, trying to overcome these, trying to throw off this bitterness on our own, trying to shake that addiction on our own, trying to live for God on our own. But here's the glory of the gospel, and here's the good news. When you receive the gift of salvation, you receive the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive a friendship with God where he promises never to leave you. But then by his Holy Spirit coming to live inside of your heart, you receive the power of God in your life that empowers you to honor him and to glorify him and to live for him, where you don't have to do it on your own. And it's not a dutiful thing, but you do it out of love because you've experienced forgiveness and you've experienced friendship with God. So now, because you love him, you're empowered by his Spirit to actually walk in obedience. But if you keep trying to live for God on your own, you'll never be able to do it. But the joy of obedience when you have the gift of salvation and the Holy Spirit living inside of you, life, your whole life becomes an expression of worship to God. Not just your songs, but Monday through Saturday, what you do with your life becomes worship to him because you now have power to do it through the Spirit of God coming to live inside of you. Now, I don't know what your concept of God is, and I don't know what you think about God, but listen, I want you to know this morning that God loves you so much, and he so desires to be close to you that when you receive his gift of salvation, he comes closer than your very skin, and he comes inside to live inside of you by his Spirit. It's a wondrous thing. There's power to overcome the hardest thing. So kids, if you walk with Jesus, and if you depend upon Jesus, Jesus will give you power. And this is part of what salvation means. Salvation is not just forgiveness, although forgiveness is wonderful, isn't it? Like to be declared holy before God and for all of our guilt and shame to be washed away. That's a glorious truth, and I can sing God's praises through the ages if that was it. But it's not just forgiveness. We actually get to know God and have a friendship with him. But it's not just knowing God. It's actually being empowered by God to love people and to be patient and to be kind and to be sacrificial in our home and to be loving. Well, let's see what else. See what else is in here. If you're taking notes, this is one of my favorite verses about the Holy Spirit, John 15:26, where Jesus says, I will send you the helper from the Father. The helper is the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father. So friends, what do you need help with? When you receive Jesus, God didn't just forgive you and say, go figure it out on your own. God said, no, now I'm gonna come inside of you and I'm gonna help you. But where do you need help? Well, hit your knees and cry out to Jesus because he's in you by his Spirit and he wants to help you with his power. Well, let's see what else we got in this gift of salvation. What does that say, you guys?
Heaven.
Heaven. It's funny, the church that I pastored in Arizona, I often felt like a chaplain. It was in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is a retirement community. And it's like the average age was like 70, you know? And they always wanted me to preach on heaven. You wonder why? It's because they were a little closer. And so would you preach on heaven? Would you just preach on heaven? Listen, dear friends, when you receive the gift of salvation, heaven is your future home. You don't have to worry about hell. You don't have to fear God's judgment. You can anticipate heaven so that you begin to beg the preacher, would you preach on heaven? That's my future home. I want to get ready for it. Jesus said it this way in John 14, 2. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Jesus has his disciples around and he's teaching them. And he says, my Father's house has many rooms. I'm going to go and I'm going to work on that house for you. And that's where Jesus is today. He's preparing our home in heaven. And listen, heaven's not going to be this boring place where we're playing harps on clouds for eternity. Heaven, there's going to be a new earth that heaven, where we work with God, and there's not going to be any frustration to our work. Because the frustration and the sweat of the brow is part of the curse of the fall. And so heaven is going to be so wondrous that we can't even imagine it. That's why the scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagine what God has for those. So when we receive Jesus in this gift of forgiveness, this gift of eternal life, we receive forgiveness and friendship and power. Would you guys just hold your signs up so we could see those real clearly? You know, when I receive a big gift, and this is silly, but I think many of us do this. When it's a really nice gift, sometimes I wonder how much did that cost? Anybody else do that? I mean, we shouldn't do that, right? Because that's not, it's the thought that counts, you know what I mean, right? But even like when your kids like make you something, you know, it's like the cost of their time, right? The cost, you guys are gonna get tired if you hold it up, so anytime you wanna bring it down, you can. The cost of our salvation is free to us, but it cost God something very precious. And I want to explain the gospel to us just for a moment. So 100% participation is required this morning, all right? 100% participation is required this morning, all right? Okay, thanks. All right, so everybody needs the black sheet of paper that is in your seat when you came in. And if the person next to you doesn't have one, just rip yours in half and give them half of yours, okay? And I had someone show me how much this gift of salvation cost this way years ago. God is in heaven. Would you do this with me? God is in heaven, and he created us on this earth. And God created us to be in a relationship with him. Do you see that? And just hold that there for a second. God desires to be in a relationship with you. But the scripture says, as we've already seen, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and our sin has earned us judgment and death. And so this black paper represents sin, and sin has broken our relationship with God. So this God that we were supposed to be in a relationship with, we now can't be in a relationship with him. Do you see that? But because God loved us so much, he sent Jesus as our rescuer to live on this earth like us. And Jesus lived a perfect life, and Jesus went to the cross. And when Jesus was on the cross, God put our sin on Jesus. And Jesus, through his death, he crushed our sin. And then Jesus was buried. And 3 days later, by God's power, he rose from the dead. And where's our sin? It's buried in the grave because Jesus conquered it. And Jesus rose from the dead so that we could be clean and free and forgiven and brought back into this relationship with God. Do you see it? What did this gift of salvation cost us? It cost God the death of his son. God loved us so much that he gave his son. He sacrificed his son. It's something I would never do. I would never sacrifice my children. But God in heaven loved us so much that he sacrificed his son so that we can be restored in a relationship with God. So what do you have to do today? You receive the gift. You receive the gift. God has the gift and he extends it to us. But we have to receive it. We receive it by faith, but there's things that can keep us from receiving gifts. When I was in college, I had a buddy. And he had a girlfriend, and his birthday rolled around, and she gave him like a really, really nice birthday present. And it was, the strangest thing happened. He opens up the present. This is weird. He opens up the present. And receiving the gift was too much for him. And he literally ran out the front door and ran all the way to his apartment. Why do you think he did that? I think I might know. I think that there was subtle pride in his heart where he didn't want to be given something. There was that thing in him that if he was going to receive something, he had to earn it. But she was lavishing a great gift on him. And listen, today, God wants to give you a gift, but many of us, we have subtle pride in our heart that maybe you're running away from God like he was running away from this gift. Stop running away, turn around and run back to God and receive the gift of salvation that he wants to give you. You say, what must I do? Receive it by faith. What must I do to receive? You don't earn it. You don't work for it. It's free. It cost Jesus his life. God raised him from the dead so that we might have it forever. We receive it. The last verse we want to look at is that our worship team comes this morning. Maybe this morning as you think about this gift, maybe for you it's fear that might keep you from receiving this gift. The scripture says it this way. I was at a Nashville Sounds game when I was a little kid. A guy hit a foul ball and I got the foul ball. And I took it down and I got him to autograph it. And on that ball, he wrote his autograph and he wrote Romans 10, 9 and 10. And I went home and my dad said, do you know what that is? I said, no. And so he asked my sisters, do you know what that is? And they said, well, it's a Bible verse. And he said, well, why don't you go and get a Bible and open up and read it? And they read Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you believe in your heart, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 9. If you confess Jesus as Lord. So here's key. This is what's key. Is that when you receive this gift of salvation, you're receiving Jesus as your Lord. You're receiving Jesus as your Lord. Can we just turn this upside down? You're receiving him as your Lord. You're receiving him as your Savior. You're receiving him as your King. You're receiving him as your Rescuer. So you don't receive Jesus as your friend without receiving him as your Lord. And you don't receive Jesus as your Savior without receiving him as your King, as your new boss, as the one in charge of your life, because he is Lord and he is King. And he demonstrated that through his resurrection. And so today I want to invite you to open up your heart in faith. Maybe it's pride that's keeping you from it. Maybe it's fear, because you're just not yet ready to receive Jesus as King. You're afraid of what he might call you to. You're afraid of what he might require of you. Dear friends, don't pass up the goodness of forgiveness and friendship and power in heaven. Receive Jesus as your Lord and delight in this gift of salvation. And maybe for you this morning, it's not fear and it's not pride, it's just unbelief. Maybe where you are on your spiritual journey, you hear the gospel and you want it to be true, but you just don't yet believe that it is. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if that's you, just to lift your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Nobody's going to be looking around. Now, here's the verse that we close with today. It's It's John 1:12. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Would you receive him today? Would you receive him and begin to open this great gift of salvation? I just want to invite you to bow your head. Stay seated where you are. Just to bow your head. If you're here this morning, and you would just say, Pastor, I hear the good news. I don't yet believe it. Would you just pray for me? With everybody's head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give you an opportunity to lift your hand so I can pray for you. Pastor, I hear the good news. I just don't yet believe it. I think I understand what you're saying. Just lift your hand so I can pray for you. Anybody? I see you. Anybody else? Okay. All right. I see you. Lord, I pray for these friends who have lifted their hands saying, I don't know if I yet believe this good news. And I pray, oh God, by your Spirit, you would stir faith in their heart. I pray you'd stir faith in their heart today. Lord, I pray that they might sense your Holy Spirit convicting them of their sin and opening their eyes to see the wonder of Jesus. And they might take him in this gift of salvation today as a free gift. Others of you are here today, and maybe today is your day to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So to trust in him. I want to give you just a sample prayer that you can pray something like this. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that you're a good and generous God. Lord, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he rose from the dead. Please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. I want to have a friendship with you, God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, would you just lift your hand so I can see you? Just lift your hand. I see you, brother. Anybody else? Lift your hand high. If you prayed it for the first time today, lift it high so I can see it. I see you, brother. Anybody else? I just want to invite you this morning, if you prayed to receive Jesus for the first time, just indicate that on the card. Put your name down. We would love to connect with you and help you on your spiritual journey. Welcome to the family of God. Amen, amen.